Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Yancey Roy, the Albany Bureau Chief from Newsday. Welcome, Yancey. You're always a welcome guest here. So delighted to have you with us. So I guess I can ask the first question. Here it is with a question mark after it. It's one word. Cuomo?
Yeah, as we speak today, there's a lot of questions about that, and there's a lot of movement, I think, on the question of the governor's future as governor, which right now is in a precarious position. The latest was, of course, Andrea Stewart Cousins being the most significant person to call for his resignation, the leader of the state Senate, saying he must resign. At first, Carl Hastie, the speaker of the assembly, had tiptoed not quite to that line, saying the governor should think about whether he can continue to serve. But there have been new allegations since then, and that has prompted a meeting of the Assembly Democratic Conference for later today, Wednesday. It could be very lengthy, and the outcome of that is going to be very important as to what happens, because they're going to discuss about, people wanting him to resign, wait for the Attorney General's investigation, or if he doesn't resign, the nuclear option, which would be impeachment, which more and more legislators are bringing up now.
Did you ever think you'd see a day when this governor, who had worldwide fame, was on CNN every morning, would be facing I read somewhere, and I wouldn't be able to quote you on it, a 38% approval rating. Is that right, Yancey? Something like that. It's quite low. And the threat of impeachment? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, look, a year ago, he was one of the Democratic standard bearers against Trump, in a way, about how to handle the pandemic and how to show leadership. And of course, all his briefings were getting picked up by the national television networks. He got what I imagine was a rather lucrative book contract to write about pandemic leadership last year. And here we are, almost, maybe ironically, of the timing, it's all been on the week, one-year anniversary of the first case appearing in New York, and his standing and political future has turned dramatically in a matter of 6 weeks. If you go back to the nursing home report by Tish James, if you start from there, this is all turned around in about 6 weeks.
So let's take a look at Speaker Hastie, and the Assembly has always been known as a place where the Speaker says in one dialect or another, look at boys, this is what we're going to do here. And everybody says, okay, they either bow or curtsy. Now, is that likely to happen here? What do you think?
I do think that there's a general consensus that Carl Hastie, as Assembly Speaker, has been much more likely to get a consensus of the membership of where it wants to go and lead from there. He's always had the reputation of being much less top down than some of his predecessors.
Yep.
In the position. So I think this is going to kind of grow, whatever the outcome here, it's going to grow organically from the membership. And now keep in mind, let's set up the stage for this. A couple of days ago, 23 Democratic women, members of the Assembly, sent out a letter saying we should all await Tish James' investigation. That was seen as being very helpful to Cuomo. But today, kind of in counteraction to that, 55 legislators, not just women, men, women, senators, assemblymen. They sent out a letter this morning saying that the governor should resign. And it was not long after that letter went out that Carl Hastie kind of hastily announced that the Assembly Democrats would discuss the whole issue behind closed doors today.
So, Yancey Roy, what are the dangers here for the speaker? Obviously, there's a gubernatorial election coming up next year. This does not look good for the Democrats either way, does it?
Well, let's start with the first part of that, the danger for the speaker. Any kind of political danger for him would be moving forward against the wishes of the conference, or not moving forward against the wishes of the conference, or moving forward with something and then stumbling, which could, then endanger his status as leader and prompt other people to question that. And as far as looking that far ahead to elections, I mean, there's the open question of, as we talk right now, the governor, I believe on your show, broke the news back in 2019, said, "I plan on running for a fourth term." He was asked about that this week. And for the first time ever, he said, "Today's not the day for politics." He didn't answer it with the same affirmative answer. And if you're going to look that far into, next year's gubernatorial election, I think, there would be a handful of Democrats who knows who, if Cuomo is not running, there'd be a handful of Democrats who'd likely be there. And as far as setting up the contest between Democrats and Republicans, let's first remember that the Republicans now only account for about 22% of registered New York voters. And they have had trouble winning any kind of statewide election since George Pataki. They haven't won one since George Pataki. And they haven't won anything with any kind of anti-choice candidate on a statewide ballot. So there's a lot of barriers that they would still have to face, even if this is an open seat election come a year from now.
Yancey Roy, let's play what if. What if, in fact, Cuomo gets out, either resigns or says he's not going to run? Who have the Republicans got? They make this classic mistake of the what the Daily News might have called the bum of the month club. You get guys in the Republican Party who wanted to run, people like Chris Gibson, now a college president, a wonderful college president and a great guy. He wanted it and they wouldn't even look at him. And so who's being mentioned?
Well, I think it's still kind of early, but I think, Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, ran in 2018, and I think that he has been very active and vocal on various issues of the pandemic, and now, of course, the sexual harassment allegations. I think a couple of congressmen, Tom Reed of Corning, Lee Zeldin of Suffolk County, Long Island, have openly said they are considering it. It's still really early. It's still really early to figure out who may or may not run. It kind of might depend on a lot of factors, money, what the Democratic field looks like, and that sort of thing.
I've heard a lot of people on the Democratic side being considered. One of them is my friend and a guy I admire very much, Tom DiNapoli, the comptroller. Whoever thought that a comptroller in New York State like Tom DiNapoli could be the governor of New York, but a lot of people are talking about him. What do you think?
Well, let's remember Carl McCall was comptroller, and he ran for governor in 2002.
And got beat.
Yep. By an incumbent. Whoever the Democratic candidate, even if it's Cuomo, is going to have a lot of advantages of enrollment, union backing in a union state, and all of those things. I mean, obviously, Tish James, the attorney general, is a name that people would throw out there because of her rising profile in all of this. It's still a lot of ways to go. And, we should also point out, if we're going to think through about what happens and what might happen, a lot of folks throwing out the idea that would the assembly ever go for impeachment? It's important for listeners and the public to know to not get caught up in the idea that you're going to have 43 Republicans, every single Republican in the assembly, and all that they need is 33 Democrats to get to 76, which is a majority in the assembly, and voila, therefore they have the majority and they would do something. You know this, and folks should know this as well. The way politics works and the way the institution of the assembly and the Senate works is the controlling party will never move forward with a bill, much less an impeachment resolution, unless a majority of the majority can pass it. They would not want to pass anything with minority help. So folks shouldn't think of this as needing 76 assembly members to do anything. They would need 76 Democrats to do anything. And right now, they're definitely not at that mass. But who knows? Who knows how fast things are changing right now?
Well, Yancey, I have incredible respect for you. You've been around for a long time, and you're saying, "Uh-oh, what's he going to ask me?" do you think they'll impeach him?
I wouldn't want to make any kind of predictions right now. It just seems that after the last allegation that spurred more calls for resignation and the fact that they have now, the assembly Democrats have quickly and unexpectedly called a closed door conference meeting, it just lends to a situation of at this very moment, you're not sure which way it's going to turn. Keep in mind, there could be a lot of people who would say and who probably will say, we still have to sit here and wait for the attorney general's investigation. That might take weeks, but there are some folks who are going to want to wait for that. It's just hard to gauge on exactly how that breakdown of assembly Democrats who want to wait and who don't want to wait to force the hand here of the governor one way or another right now.
Well, Yancey Roy, obviously, if the governor were to resign, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul would become the governor. Now, she's from your region, I believe, in Western New York. What do you think about her capability to step into the role? And you know what? If she does, you would bet that you might believe that Governor Cuomo might not be a happy camper.
Well, Kathy Hochul from Buffalo, she, like a lot of lieutenant governors, serve and keep a fairly low profile. Going to ribbon cuttings and events and steering committee sorts of things. And you know, that's sort of the traditional role of the lieutenant governor. All of a sudden, you know, now in the last few weeks, when all of these allegations are surfaced, everybody is taking a longer look at Kathy Hochul. What to know about, you see a lot of stories like, Kathy Hochul? What to know about Kathy Hochul? She's been a solid veteran Democrat. She was a Congress member for one term out there from Buffalo. She's been a steady supporter of the governor's policies. But you know what's also interesting and intriguing in a political sense, Alan, you'll remember this. Governor Cuomo actually really publicly tried to, you know, suggest to her that she should, in 2018, run for Congress again out in Buffalo and not run as his running mate. And she just refused. She said she didn't want to run. She was happy with her current job. And so what a little twist of events that would have been if that would have happened.
And we have to remember, of course, that she was defeated in that congressional race
right.
that she was in. So that may speak a little bit about her popularity. And remember that in New York politics, seems to me there's an unwritten, in invisible ink, line in the state constitution which says if you're a Democrat and you want to be governor, you better darn well come from the five boroughs of New York. What do you think?
I, you know, someone wrote this the other day just because there's all this speculation, and I wish I could remember the exact year. There was, I think, the last upstate governor was, I want to say from, Cortland County, I believe, and it was decades and decades ago. You know, you go back to the 19th century, and there was the list of governors included people from kind of all over the state. But certainly in the last half of the 20th century and now, especially because campaigns have become so expensive and raising money and sort of profile is an issue. You haven't seen, you know, any sort of upstate candidates at all. I mean, upstate winners, I should say. There have been upstate candidates If I'm counting Mark Molinaro from Dutchess County as an upstate candidate there.
Sure.
But in terms of winning the election.
Yancey Roy, now we've talked about a lot of this governor thing and the potential for impeachment. Now we're also in the middle of a very important point in the in our development, political development, and now the legislature is going to meet and they're going to have to pass a budget. So
right.
What would that look like? These two leaders from the two houses coming out with almost calls for the resignation or maybe the impeachment in secret language. So how do you deal with that? Do you think Cuomo's up to it?
Well, on one level, you've got professional staff in the executive chamber, in the Senate, and the Assembly, who are career pros, who know budgets, who know numbers, and they will do a lot of the professional work that needs to be done to get a budget in shape and ready for the political leaders to kind of agree to or not. But then when it comes to the political bargaining, you've got a weakened governor, you've got an emboldened legislature. He needs a lot of friends. He doesn't have many right now. This is an awfully serious matter. The budget is going to be closing in now these days to almost $200 billion. And you know, Cuomo in a position where he will need to be give in to more of the legislators' demands than normal because of all this other pressure that he's facing right now? I mean, there's always backroom deals and secrecy, and it's interesting. We wrote just this week about how this might affect the budget, and one of the watchdogs who usually look over this process said, given the circumstances, we're looking at maybe an all-time Albany special for the Shakespearean level of backstabbing and backroom dealing.
Now, remember that the leaders of the legislature and the progressives in the Assembly and Senate are calling for more money to be taxed. In other words, make the rich pay. Cuomo has always been against that. You think that will change?
That's going to be a central argument of the budget. And the other factor you have to layer over that is that the newest stimulus package passed by Congress and signed by Joe Biden. Charles Schumer, the New York senator, his staff has been talking this week about saying things like, remember that New York state budget deficit? It's gone. Zero. Zilch.
Right, nada.
And so then now you're going to have this argument between people who say we no longer have a deficit, so therefore we don't need to do anything with tax rates. And on the other side, you're going to have the progressives saying this is a one-time infusion by the federal government, and we still need to structurally change the income tax rates in New York and put a higher rate on the super earners. And you're going to also have a lot of unions, teachers unions and others probably backing that position.
What about the stock transfer tax? Every once in a while, we all throw that around. It's in place. All they got to do is enforce it, and it would bring about $15 billion to the state. Other stock exchanges like the London Exchange still impose the tax on speculators. Why not New York?
You know, the controversies surrounding the governor have kind of drowned out what's usually a focus on the budget right now. And that combined with the federal stimulus package, you're not hearing as much about things like stock market taxes as you are the income tax rate, as you are marijuana, which they still want to legalize and tax, and online sports betting. If it would seem like where we're at, right, first of all, you can't tell for sure. But if with the influx of the federal funds, it seems like their priorities of adjusting taxes still remains the income tax on the super wealthy. And it's possible that some of these secondary wishes in terms of tax rates, those are with the influx of federal money, those become a little less likely, although it's again, it's hard to predict.
I would think you're right about that. Now, Attorney General, otherwise known as almost Governor James, has appointed a former federal prosecutor and employment lawyer to investigate these allegations against Cuomo. that he sexually harassed female aides. With that said, do you think that Tish James is angling for a run for governor? And I'm going to prejudice my question and say, I do.
Well, you know, the running gag in politics is AG stands for aspiring governor, or like you said, almost governor. And I think anytime the AG is, who, no matter who it's been, whether it was Eric Schneiderman or before him Andrew Cuomo or before him Elliot Spitzer, people in the political world has always looked at the AG spot as the next contender for the executive mansion. I think that just goes back a long way.
So your answer is yes? Yes, you think she's yes, you think she's angling for it?
I wouldn't say that, Alan. I'd say she'd be a leading contender among Democrats, that's for sure, if circumstances came to that the governor was either not running or not in office.
Okay. You know, I this thing keeps me up a bit, wondering about Andrew. How much of this is his fault? The reason I ask you that is that he's a guy who makes a lot of enemies. He pushed around, a lot of people around. I gave him a nickname, which some people in the press have been appropriating, which is Tough Guy Andrew. So which he thought was an effective way of governing. So how much of this would you put on him?
You know, I think back to Elliot Spitzer in 2008 when he was it came out that he was involved in a prostitution ring. He was forced to resign by Democrats and Republicans who had threatened and raised the issue of impeachment. And for a while, Spitzer thought he could beat this back. But what became clear is that he, because of his own steamroller style and, tactics with the legislature, he had no allies left in the legislature. And that's part of why he ended up resigning. Cuomo has been in office now. It's his 11th year. He has a bruising style that his own staff has characterized as get along or kill. And as soon as this broke, you know, there was a lot of Democrats saying that there's not much of a reservoir of friendship or allies for Governor Cuomo because of that, because of the way things have happened over the last 11 years.
So what do you think his major mistakes have been? Clearly, it was a dumb move not to come clean about those nursing homes. Had he done that early, he might not be in this pickle, right?
I think folks are still trying to chip away and ask the question of the nursing home count and why the Cuomo administration just wasn't a little more forthcoming. They say that they were unsure about the accuracy of the data. They also say that whether a person died in the hospital. What we're getting at is people who were in the nursing home, went to the hospital, died there. They were counted as dying in the hospital. That kind of deflated the total count of nursing home deaths. The administration has said in the end, it doesn't matter. We didn't change the overall number of deaths. But as Assemblyman Richard Gottfried said in a floor debate on this, he said if someone, God forbid, dies in a car accident on Western Avenue, gets in a car accident on Western Avenue, is taken to the hospital and has died there, you don't count them as dying at the hospital, or else you're giving misleading information about traffic safety accidents. And I think that's sort of the question here with the governor's office, that a lot of people feel that they weren't just completely upfront about this, even if there was a rationale for being uncertain about how to count the data.
I wanted to ask you very quickly, because we're running out of time here, about the census and the redistricting process. The Democrats control both houses and the governorship right now. What do you expect is going to happen? We're going to lose at least one congressman, maybe two. Who would be in the most danger?
Well, I think it's clear that upstate Republicans would be in the most danger because of population shifts. You have the targeted areas where districts would be collapsed into one would be upstate. Long Island, not so much. It's just a little hard to do there. If you're looking upstate, I think the folks that have been mentioned in a lot of circles already would be, would the Democrats look to combine the district of, say, Elise Stefanik and Claudia Tenney, which is sort of North Country, Mohawk Valley area. You've also got John.
And the assumption, I'm sorry for interrupting, but the assumption would be that Stefanik would win over Tenney. Is that right?
I don't know. I think that the idea is that if you're the Democrats, you combine two Republicans into one seat, and you're guaranteed to have, no matter who wins, you're guaranteed to have one less Republican. We should mention John Katko of Syracuse and Tom Reed of Corning. That's the other one that's been ripe for discussion about collapsing into one seat.
Yancey Roy, we love you and love having you with us. You have been a great friend to this radio program, and you're always there for us, and we so appreciate your insights, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, Alan. Good to talk to you.
Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.